Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The drama behind David Price.
I hold all the cards now.
If you ask me, it's over. It's amazing how much funnier he's going to get.
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two jokers in that deck. Never mind.
Everyone laugh at the funny joke.
No, he's funny now, ain't he?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out. It's not that tough.
This is a fun game. I can't wait to play along with David.
Who are we going to pick on?
I don't know, man.
Pedroia
is standing right here.
Who gives a rat's ass?
They announced a cast of 8 other people who will be working with Joe throughout the course of the season.
Hey, got it!
Names like Sean McDonough, Mario Impemba.
Mario Impebra.
Lou Merlone, yours truly, and this guy.
I call it a walk, Lou, because he doesn't have to run because he's got a free base.
It's not what we do.
Do you got any nicknames for the Red Sox players or home run calls up your sleeve?
Mookie, you bet. Then sale of the century, that's
not. I like that.
J.A. Happ, punk ass bitch!
Oh, no.
Right now.
I went to Vanderbilt.
Even better, how
I'm
about
smart.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
What an interesting tidbit here from Mark Stein of the New York Times.
What?
Celtics executive Mike Zarin, one of the two names emerging in league circles as likely targets for the Pelicans GM search. Isn't that like Kevin McHale as the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Hopefully.
What happened when he was the GM out there?
Wow.
I don't know. Seemed to get along with Danny. Seemed to be able to work out a deal.
Yeah, Kevin friends Garnett in the right places. Friends in the right places.
A bizarre game last night. I watched that game last night. And
which one?
And by the way, we learned last night. Pelicans can win without Anthony Davis. You don't
true.
Need Anthony
they don't need
Davis.
Him.
They don't need him.
They were inspired.
They
well, he got hurt.
But he got hurt.
And they're like, you know, we're going to win this for you.
So he got hurt. And he walks off the court and he goes right.
Hold on.
Hurt? Well, a little
see the boo-boo. Play?
A little boo-boo.
The block
oh
shot.
My arm.
There
he's
was
broken.
There was no initial ouch. There was no, you know, when you
well, you didn't hear him. He might have said ouch.
When you no, when you visibly
delayed
see
onset.
It,
yeah.
There was no like block shot. Like oh,
no,
you know, like tweak to my shoulder.
No.
Like, let me go down. No grimace. No nothing. I mean, come on. I mean, he couldn't just sit out and then forget the league fined them $100,000 a game. So he had to come up with an injury, right? He
yeah.
wasn't hurt.
Well,
the
thing
play.
Is, he was, it's all fake. Huh. I agree. He came up with an injury. He because the league is pissed off now, and the league is telling New Orleans they're going to fine them $100,000 per game that he doesn't play when he's a healthy scratch. They're going to decide he's a healthy scratch, I guess, which I think is unfair of the NBA. That is a small market franchise. They have their own trouble trying to go and get players. And what you're basically saying is the one commodity, the one asset they have right now that can rebuild their franchise is this guy, Anthony Davis. And if he gets hurt between now and June, they're screwed. And the league is sitting there dictating it. Charles Barkley
the whole,
went off on that, and he was right. He's right about
the,
that.
The whole thing was kind of odd because even so their head coach, Alvin Gentry, was kind of like thrown in the middle of this,
yes.
right? And so Dell Demps, their GM, was fired, and we'll get into that in a second. But so Alvin Gentry, after the game, you know, he's in the, obviously the reporter pool, and they're asking him about the game and asking him about Anthony Davis. It's like he doesn't know what to say.
I'm happy for all of them, you know, because to tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard. You know, for guys, you know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
What are your thoughts on AD leaving the building? Is that something that
don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won.
It's like Bill. We're only talking about the guys who played here.
Unbelievable.
But Lou's right. It was a fake injury. What it was is, and it was orchestrated by his agent, who seems to be orchestrating everything, Rich Paul, because I thought it was strange. TNT had video of Davis walking out with Rich Paul.
Then he left the building.
Out of the building as the game was still being played. Walking out of the building. It was orchestrated. It was orchestrated on national TV so that he now has an excuse.
So everybody
not to play
saw
in these
it on
games.
National
everybody
TV saw it. That he
you
got
saw
hurt.
Me. You saw me get hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And it turns out the x-rays, the MRI, they said it was a contusion. What's a contusion?
He got a bruise.
A bruise.
Contusion is we don't see anything. But you came in here, so we can't just tell you there's nothing wrong.
Hurt my hand.
So the whole thing, I have an issue with them leaving.
I don't.
So why are you leaving the building? Why are you Anthony Davis? Your team's out there. It's a home game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a home game. And I'm sure, like, this is 2019. There's MRIs. There's x-ray. They got them at Gillette. They got them at every. This isn't Oakland Coliseum,
X-rays.
Right?
X-rays.
It's not this whole x-ray. They got everything in
I
there.
I don't think they got MRIs.
Everything. Well, I'm going to assume.
Probably not.
I'm going to see. Let's just say they
right,
don't
he break
have
a bone.
He,
great.
Didn't, he didn't pull a Gordon Hayward where he completely dislocated and he had to be rushed to the hospital. He got a little bruise, right? So, all right, chill out. Wait for the team to come. There's no need for you to leave unless you. And this is the last time we're ever going to see you. I think you start looking at Anthony Davis a little differently now based on the way he's conducting his business. Like,
see,
this
I
is the guy that you want?
I'm just saying, if there's no MRI there, if all we have is an x-ray, I didn't break a bone. But maybe there was a subluxation. Maybe I separated my shoulder. I have no idea what he's saying. He's making it up. So I should go to the hospital and get it looked at.
The hospital?
Yeah,
come
x-ray.
On, stop it. Listen, we're not leaving with her. You need your agent to come hold your hand. And
his agent's in the house.
And then, first of all, when the hell does an agent take a player to go get an x-ray? A guy of that with that much value? You personally escort him and you wait for him and then you get the results and you come back.
Christian.
You don't leave the stadium at halftime.
It's the New Orleans Pelicans.
Doesn't matter. Start looking at Anthony Davis differently.
This is
as opposed to just whether or not he's faking it or not.
So apparently,
listen, I'm just saying right now, I mean, if you're Jerry Maguire, you take your client because Bob Sugar's waiting.
That's right.
So you want to show how close
Bob
you are.
Bob Sugar.
You happen to be at the game. The guy goes down.
Of course, it was all set up. Of course, he's going to be at the game.
Well, exactly, it was a setup. But still, it's like he's got to go to the hospital. All right, well, let's go. I'll take you. Let's go get an MRI on your shoulder. Make sure nothing's so serious.
Are you going to run with that?
Yes.
Let's go to the hospital, AD.
Yes.
Because I know they got a bunch of MRIs, special MRIs right down the street around the corner. Maybe on Canal Street, right? Because we're in New Orleans, right? It's the Smoothie King. How tall are you? Oh, you know what? I'm sure they can figure it out.
But it's your shoulder, by the way?
I'm
just saying, so it's all BS. I'm not saying it's not BS. We all know it's a made-up injury. But athletes go to the hospital during games all the time.
Okay, he's got a bruised shoulder. Nobody yanked it out. It wasn't dislocated. He didn't
according
fall.
To you.
No, according to you two, come on. Use your tough guy brain. You
I'm
know what
telling
you're looking
you,
at.
I think it's fake. But you make it sound like he left the stadium and no one ever does that.
No,
you know
no,
guys
no, no,
leave
no,
the stadium
no,
all
no,
the time.
No,
go to the hospital.
You know when guys leave the stadium to go to the hospital? When they have something terrible happens to them and they have to be rushed to the hospital. Most guys, I'll use Patrick Chung. Yes, it was a Super Bowl, but the guy
Super
has
Bowl,
this
example.
Like unbelievable scar in his arm. He's not going to the hospital.
Week 5, would he go to the hospital?
No. Well, yes.
Okay. Tough times,
but he had 25 stinking stitches, okay, because he busted his arm.
This guy had a contusion. Well, I mean, have some sympathy, will you?
Oh my
the show is about
I,
to fall off I, over
my
here.
My point is that you should probably start looking at him a little differently.
So you don't want him?
Well, wait a minute.
No, I'm not saying
wait
I don't
minute.
Want
you,
him.
Christian.
I'm saying, who do you...
Christian, you were looking at him differently when he came out a few weeks ago and said he wanted to be traded. Because if he were really fair to the New Orleans Pelicans, they asked him last year and in the previous season. He had opportunities to tell the organization, I don't want to be here long term. He kept on telling people. We talked about it because we looked at him as a great target for the Celtics. He kept on telling people, nope, I like New Orleans. I like what they're building here. I like it. And then suddenly he changed his mind 3 weeks ago and then sick this guy, Rich Paul, his agent, who is the same agent as LeBron James, and they were all trying to work hand-in-hand with L.A. And that apparently is where Gail Benson, the owner, who also owns the New Orleans Saints, finally blew up and said, enough is enough. This is ridiculous that we're going to allow an agent. And you've talked about this before, how agents control everything. She wasn't going to allow the agent to deal with this anymore. Now, apparently it blew up yesterday because he walked out, and she was pissed that Anthony Davis walked out, and she ended up firing Dell Demps, who, by the way, you know who he reports to? Do you know who he reports to? He reports to Mickey Loomis. Do you know who Mickey Loomis is?
It's the GM for Saints.
For the Saints. He's the Saints GM. You might be talking to him.
He drafted me. Right.
Now, listen, that's who he reports to. What a screwed up organization.
I don't know who replaces Demps now, but that does add a little twist.
How about if it's Mike Zarin?
Well, if it's Mike Zarin, I don't know. Do you push Danny harder because you don't want to be viewed the rest of your career? You're just starting your career?
No, but
as the guy that handed Anthony Davis to your old buddy?
No, but you trust each other a little bit more. You have an open line of conversation. Danny's the one that prop Mike.
Well, let me ask you this. What if it's a GM that sat there and said, man, I can't believe Demps passed up that. I thought that Laker deal was pretty good.
If
one of the guys passed it up, I thought, I actually like Kuzma.
It could be.
I think Ingram's
I think he's better than Tatum.
Could be.
I don't know if there's much difference between Kuzma and Tatum. And you know what? I can get Ingram, too. Lonzo, I can work with. I don't know. Maybe I can move him in another separate deal.
You better move him quickly.
But I'm just saying, what if it's another GM who takes over?
It's all possible.
Who thinks that Laker deal was pretty good?
No, you're right. It's just because if it's going to be, you know, Mike Zarin, let's say, it doesn't necessarily mean that other than Danny has a great relationship with him, they can talk. They can sit there and say, okay, come on, what do you really need? There's somewhat of a trust there. They've worked side by side for a long period of time. But the other guys, I don't know David Booth. Danny Ferry, I think, has a good relationship with Danny. Ferry's been around with Cleveland, with Atlanta. And we know David Griffin, who's been with Cleveland. So I think Ainge has – matter of fact, it was David Griffin who – first broke the story about the possibility of Kyrie coming to Boston, obviously, because he had conversations before he got fired with Danny Ainge.
But you said you changed your thoughts on this guy. Get ready for it, though.
No, I'm just thinking. I don't think it's I think that's fair game.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, you're talking about character.
Okay. Gets injured all the time. Only played in 45 games. Missed the entire year last year. He's probably not going to play again. You know, people will bring that up.
All-Star game.
No, he won't. People will bring it all up. He's not going to play, gets injured too much. You talk about a character. You know, he wants out of New Orleans. We said the same thing about Kyrie. Why would he ever not want to play with LeBron? Maybe that's a bad example because people don't want Kyrie's ass here either.
But I ask you this question. How is he any different from any of these other egotistical, selfish NBA players? What is Kevin Durant?
He isn't.
Kevin Durant left his team because his team got beat in the playoffs.
And
goes to the team that beat them, and now he's going to another team.
He was a free agent. He didn't force his way out of any situation.
They all forced their way in.
No, he did not. He was a free agent.
Correct.
So he can sign wherever the hell he wants to. If you don't like the fact that he signed with a good team, I don't know why anyone would want to sign with a crappy team, but he had an opportunity to sign with a good team. And I'm not going down this hill with you. I'm not going down this road with you because that drives me crazy. He's a free agent. And what Anthony Davis is doing is faking an injury.
Yes.
And leaving the stadium.
Right. And a lot of these guys do stuff
now,
like
maybe,
this.
Maybe Dell Demps is just a terrible GM. I mean, that's part of it.
Been there for a long time.
And he just mangled it. And then this is it.
I don't think he mangled anything. I think Anthony, this is where I will agree with you, that Anthony Davis suddenly had a change of heart. And he had a change of heart a few weeks ago because Rich Paul, who happens to be the same agent as LeBron James, said, oh, my God, I'm struggling out here. I got this Lonzo Ball kid. The old man's a pain in the ass. These other kids don't understand anything. I need Anthony. We got to work out a deal.
Ball control.
You don't think that the guy who set all of this stuff up is Rich Paul? There was a story yesterday in which they were making up stories about Kyrie Irving to try to screw all of this stuff up to get his guy out to L.A., right? So Rich Paul is the guy behind it. He's the guy messing up this whole thing.
Of course he is. Hey, AD, don't worry about it. I'll get you out of this.
Right.
Here's what we're going to do.
But are we going to shy away from now wanting Anthony Davis?
I think what's fair is you can start looking at him. Don't you look at him a little differently?
Yeah, I think he is so sick.
Like you're
sick.
Willing to
I think
to
he's so
fake
sick.
An injury? You got another 2 years in your contract.
I think he's so sick of the messed up organization down there in New Orleans that you get him here with a year left, he will be ecstatic when he finds out how great it is to be a Boston Celtic, and he'll end up sticking around here long term. All right, we get to the phone calls on that one at 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Remember, your agent worked for you. You don't work for him. They handled that situation wrong. It's going to come back to bite them. And it's unfortunate. I've said before the season, I thought he was the second best player in the world, and he's a great person. This is a bad situation. This is a bad look for the NBA. That kid can't go out there and give 100% because he can't worry about getting hurt. The Pelicans ain't trying to win. And you see already, I mean, he's had less than 3 points twice in the last week. That's ridiculous. I mean, the guy's the second best player in the world. He's had 3 points in the last two games. That's not a good look for the NBA. It's not a good look for New Orleans. It's just bad.
By the way, interesting, Charles Barkley right there. Interesting that Barkley said that over and over again last night, because some people have questioned us when we sit there and talk about Anthony Davis as a top five player. He claims he's the second best player in the league.
Yeah.
Behind LeBron. Second best player in the league.
Well, LeBron's got some struggles
right.
too, though.
Right. And that's what he says. But you might be right, Christian. There might be some people right now, and we already know there were some people that were a little bit hesitant here in Boston to make this deal anyway and get Anthony Davis, is all of the stuff that's going to go on, and it's going to continue on for a while now, is it going to make people not like this guy?
Here's the thing. He'll come here, if it does happen, imagine how happy he's going to be. I mean,
I think he sees the big difference here with this organization and what he's dealing with.
There's no David Price, at least we don't follow them on a regular basis.
You said Kyrie was David Price, didn't you?
Well, no, you guys agreed with me, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Just saying. But no, he'll have a great time here. He'll have a great attitude because the situation is entirely different. Now, if you want to blame the NBA for the way they handle these situations and the way and how they allow teams to tank and how they allow them just to not try, okay, that's a whole different. That's a system issue.
I agree. I think people should not really read into it too much. You know, I'm sure we're gonna have people sit there and say, "I don't want this guy. He quit on his team. You know, he faked an injury. He wants out. He already said he doesn't want to be here." I mean, just listen. He's an extreme talent. One that the GM that you think is pretty good desperately wants is going to trade for him. He's going to be here. Be ready for it. It's sort of, to me, it's like JD Martinez.
Yeah.
People don't know him either. Let's face it. They didn't know who he was when they were talking about him.
That's a good comparison.
And remember that report out of, down in Florida, Miami? You know, something about Boston, and Boston needs to step up. He don't want to be here. Do you hear him? Screw him. We don't need him. He don't want to be here.
Right.
Okay, great. How'd that work out? You like him now or no? You think he wants to be here now or no?
Duck boats.
I think he does. Great. So after Duck Anthony boats. Davis, a year from, they'll acquire him July 1st, or whenever they can. And a year from now, they'll be here. They'll be the number one seed in the East, and no one's going to sit there bitching about Anthony Davis. And after watching him every night, they're going to realize how good he is. And they just have acquired a top five player in the league.
And that's the thing people are missing, is that they're probably going to be a number one seed if you're looking at Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and Gordon Hayward. Okay, plus the rest of the cast that you have. So once that happens, once you go from New Orleans, where, you know, you're barely making the playoffs, and when you do, you have no success in the playoffs, to being a number one seed where you're one of the favorites to win the championship, you're not walking away from that.
Well, the fact that I think the thing that would make me look at him differently, like your agent's telling you to take a dive, and you take a dive.
No, Christian, I honestly don't. You saw what was going on down there. They took his face off the pregame video. They booed him the very first game.
Every time
he touched a ball at home, they boo his ass.
That's his fault, though.
It is his fault for coming out. I don't want to be here.
So what should the fans do?
So
this guy I bought his jersey. I've invested my time and energy going to the game, supporting him. And he just said, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore.
Right. The agency should have said anything. But they wanted to get his ass traded at the deadline. They want him to go to L.A. They went all in.
And when it didn't happen, they knew they were screwed.
Yeah, but
he couldn't go back to New Orleans. So
then that's a Dell Demps problem.
It's his agent's problem.
No, well, it's his agent.
It cost Dell Demps his job. His agent tried to force their hand to trade him to L.A., came out with this, put the full court press in. His dad was in on it. Mm-hmm. He started ripping Boston. Everybody wants to go to L.A., and they said, we have to get you to L.A., because if not, it's not going to be pretty going back to New Orleans. But don't worry, we got to get this done. And it didn't get done.
So then Dell Demps is at fault because, all right, so he knows this is going on, and he's negotiating with the Lakers, but really, he's not in really good faith, right? Everything that the Lakers throw at him, every offer that they give him multiple times, they keep changing. They kept upping the ante. They keep adding people.
They gave him everything.
Even to the fact that they'll pay for other players.
They gave him everything they had.
Right? And he had no intentions of doing it in the first place. Magic Johnson talked about it. Like, they weren't going to do it. They were just playing us. They weren't going to trade him, right? Or maybe because Dell Demps said, you know what? We need to wait till July because that's where we'll get better options, better draft picks, better players.
Yeah, we can sit here all we want and say that Rich Paul was behind it all, and I think he was behind it all because he was trying to facilitate his biggest client, who happens to be LeBron James, because he can make a lot more money on LeBron James than anybody else, not just in basketball, but all of the other things that LeBron's involved in. So he tried to facilitate all of this for him. But in the end, it still comes back to the player. So you're accepting what Rich Paul is telling you to do. So you're the one that decided to publicly state that you wanted out of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Now you're putting New Orleans in a terrible position because the team that's got the best assets is Boston. They can't make the deal because they got already a player under the Rose restriction, right? So they can't do the deal. So now you're putting us, New Orleans Pelicans, in an awful situation.
Sure did.
And it ended up getting Demps fired. Because now he couldn't make that deal because he knows Boston has a better deal on the table on July 1st. And then now he's got a player who's getting booed by the crowd. Did you see the crowd? They had nobody in the stands last night.
No,
people are going to stay away. And it's not like they have a huge season ticket base. Those people are deciding the day of game whether they're going or not.
And that goes back to Anthony Davis. It just does because don't work for the agent. The agent works for you. And so many times athletes get it confused. They think they work for the agent.
Remember, your agent worked for you.
Don't get it twisted. So he takes the advice.
Anthony Davis.
I know. And it just keeps coming. That's my point when I said, but you got to start. Maybe you start looking at him differently, Glenn. Look what he did to that franchise. You can sit there and blame Dell Demps. You can blame Rich Paul. You can blame Alvin Gentry, their coach. Blame Mickey Loomis.
Kyrie Irving did the same thing. He wanted out of Cleveland. He forced them to trade him away. He wanted out. So this is what NBA players do. So you have a decision you can make.
So who should you blame?
I told you. I blame Kyrie that he wanted to get out of Cleveland. But I blame Anthony Davis that he wanted to get out of New Orleans.
I think he handled that a lot different. That was as far as pushing your way out, I would say that transition was pretty smooth. The only guy that got pissed off about it, angry about it, was the guy that we had on that one day, Livingston, the old writer. Down in Cleveland, right? We had him on. That's the only guy that was really irritated about it.
But the story got out there. The story got out that he
was in a dumpster fire. Like you have the coach talking about it. You have the GM getting fired. You have the fans booing.
It was a nightmare. Wasn't that the timing of it was in the postseason?
Because LeBron was
at the end of the season, correct?
There was a difference. LeBron was leaving, and everybody knew he was leaving.
But this wasn't at the deadline when Kyrie came out. This was off-season drama in Cleveland.
Off-season.
So there was no games.
Totally different situation.
So Anthony Davis is not waiting until the season's over. Now, listen, if the final game of the year, and he sat there and said, I want out, trade my ass in the next month or two, it would be chaos, everybody would be talking about it. They didn't want to wait. His camp didn't want to wait. They felt like New Orleans, because obviously Paul is a connection. He knows LeBron. They're going to try to get him. He knows that maybe we can get him to L.A. at the deadline. So let's go full court press now. It backfired. It didn't work.
It was such a long shot to begin with.
They offered everything they had, and if it wasn't good enough.
There's really only like one team involved in this whole situation. Everything else was fake.
Well, because
really, really only one team involved, and it was the Lakers and the Celtics.
Because Rich Paul was trying to do the deal for his other client. That's what this was all about. I hate to tell you, Magic Johnson's not going to last on that job out there.
Well, he said he was going to quit, though, didn't he?
Well, he might have to quit because he's not lasting on that job.
Who had the story? Devaney, was it yesterday? Well, the Celtics are pissed because they think that Rich Paul kind of puts some of the stuff out there about Kyrie going to New York.
I think they know that Rich Paul is involved in all of this stuff, Lou. Rich Paul is involved
in the father. Is that the right way to go about it?
In the father saying, you know, that he's not going to re-sign there. I don't think the Celtics believe the old man saying that he's not going to re-sign there.
What my point is that is it right for the Celtics to go out there, or we believe that the organization talking to people and publicly coming out and calling out Rich Paul?
I don't think they did publicly.
Rumors. Look at the reports, but people, I thought I saw some people within the organization weren't happy and felt like you putting false reports on Kyrie Irving.
No, I think
going to the Knicks.
Whispers behind closed doors.
Well,
they're sitting here saying
what you want.
Yeah, but there's a big difference of the Celtics coming out publicly saying it.
I'm talking about prominent people.
So LeBron James, so just mentioned LeBron James, obviously, because they're all connected. So somebody was asking LeBron James about the All-Star game, and they basically were saying, like, listen, does he use these opportunities to, you know, to go to, you know, these also to recruit players. And he's using Zion Williamson, right? Like, it's a recruiting trip. And he says, a recruiting trip? I didn't talk to anybody, James told ESPN. Then he says, and then he keeps going on because it's an obvious trigger for him. He's like, they're only saying that because it's Rich Paul. When Shaq came to see me play in high school, when AI came to see me play in high school, they weren't saying it was a recruiting trip then. Because it's Rich Paul and LeBron, now it's a recruiting trip. Now, Rich is a threat to everybody. And they look at him, and they look at it, and they want to keep trying to jab my agent and jab my friend. And what is he doing that's wrong? They don't say that about no other agent when other guys go see players. They don't say that about no other agent but my guy because he's a threat. And wait for it. And he's African-American, too.
Throw that
in there. So Rich Paul is being jabbed at. And people are being critical of him and questioning him because he's black.
Bang on this.
People get bugged by LeBron James anyways, right? And let's say, and you can't, don't compare
Shaq.
Well,
my point is, this is Devaney's report, right? This is the quote. The Celtics were annoyed by the story of Irving having eyes in New York. Not because of Irving, but because they felt the story was planted by Davis's agent, Rich Paul.
Right.
In order to scare the Pelicans into thinking Boston would back off making a trade offer July 1st. Quote, it was cheap and underhanded, unquote, one source told Sporting News.
Right.
So, I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, the
Celtics, on the record.
No, Celtics were annoyed. I mean.
No. I'm not saying the Celtics weren't annoyed. Sure, they were annoyed. I also think
do you want to piss off Anthony Davis's agent?
No, but I think Danny sees through all of this. What, his agent's going to change when you get to July. When you get to July and you can't move Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers. You know what Rich Paul's going to do? Paul's going to move on to Kawhi Leonard. He's going to move on to Kevin Durant. He's going to get somebody else to come out there and play with his number one client because that's all he cares about.
So he won't take it personal when it's time to renegotiate a long-term deal and decide whether Anthony Davis stays or leaves Boston after he's there for a year when an organization calls him cheap and underhanded.
Lou, it depends where he can move him to elsewhere, and I don't think he's going to have a place where he can move him to. That certainly he's not going to be able to move him to the Los Angeles Lakers a year from now. That's not going to happen. The Lakers can't afford. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. They can't afford to go into next year without having big-time
talent.
So
are you telling me that when Anthony Davis is a free agent, Rich Paul's going to be forced to keep him in Boston? He's not going to have other offers?
I didn't say he was going to be forced to. I'm saying that.
No, I'm just saying go to New York. I mean,
I'm saying that Davis. No, New York will be shut down by then. These teams have to make. That's why Danny Ainge is looking at it and looking at and calculating it out. Who's going to have the room to be able to do this come next year? We know the teams that have room this year. We know the Knicks just opened up all that money through by sending Porzingis to Dallas. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to make their moves in this offseason. You can't sit there and
make moves.
But you can't. Then they're going to close their gap. They're not going to have that money. They're going to have two max contract guys. They're going right, to sign those guys this year.
In
all right, we'll get back to it. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF on a Friday where we may start seeing movement here in the next couple of weeks. So, Tuesday, right? The 19th is that next week where we start seeing free agency start to move around, and they have up until what, March the 5th in the National Football League to sign some of these guys. And so we're going to find out more about Trey Flowers probably next week, the week after. We're going to find out whether Gronk is going to retire or not. Seems to be people on a daily basis kind of change their mind. Where are you today on a Friday with this one?
With what?
Gronk retiring. Yes, no.
I'm staying where I'm at.
Which was, I forget, because you changed every other day. Forget what the hell it was.
90% he's going to retire?
No. What are we? Are we? How many weeks has it been? Are we at almost 2 weeks?
He's got another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Oh,
easy.
Yeah, I told you there were some stipulations that needed to be ironed out, and I think one of those is going to be Tom Brady's influence. Ultimately, I think he's pretty much gone unless somebody else comes back in and says, hold on.
All right,
one more lap, buddy.
So you're telling me you're not sure if Tom Brady's going to tell him to stick around?
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time for him to do that. Yeah. I think the only person...
You really think Tom Brady's not going to walk up to him and say that?
Like, no, I think he's...
Selfish,
I think,
Tom.
I don't know. I think Tom knows, like I think any of us would know, that you're going to need to kind of back away from it. I think Tom knows what he's got. I think he knows what's going on. And I think he would have to convince him. We can get one more year out of this. We could do it again, and then you can leave. Contract's over anyways.
So everybody made the Hall of Fame voting committee, and all five said they would not vote Gronk as a first ballot Hall of Famer. First of all, I wouldn't take anybody's word for it now, because this stuff is always subject to change. It depends on who's in the pool that year, who are the nine, you know. And
what are his final numbers, too, by the way?
And what's the final numbers? And I've seen some of the numbers that people have thrown out there with other prominent tight ends. And he's got really good numbers. He doesn't have longevity. He doesn't have all the great yardage. But if you look at individual seasons, his individual seasons, those, what are they, nine seasons, have been better than most of these guys. Mm-hmm. But what's the big deal about whether he's a first ballot or not? I mean,
yeah, I'm with you.
I don't understand.
First of all, he's not the greatest tight end of all time.
Correct.
I don't. Well, I'm not putting him in that category.
Well, he needs a little bit more time, I think, to be able to do it, because, like everything else, we base everything on an accumulation of statistics, and he's got other stuff, obviously, postseason, and yet people will look at it and say, "Well, they won without him in the postseason."
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
You know, they look at that.
See, I'm with you. The guy,
but what's the first?
He's a
big idea.
He's a Hall of Famer,
ballot.
Correct?
Yeah, I
okay,
think
so. Whether he's a Hall of Famer or not, like I heard Dale talking about it. I think I didn't like the comparison with Tony Gonzalez.
Why?
Well, because he said, you know, Gronk's first 8 or 9 years, whatever it was, I think it's 8, maybe, and comparing it to Tony Gonzalez's first 8, and Gronk's got more touchdowns. He's got more yards. The problem with that argument is that Tony Gonzalez is, you know, if you can be looking at his first 9 years, his next 8 years were just as good as his first 9.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It was 17 years of 930 yards. It was 17 years of seven or eight catches every single year.
He's got that problem against Gates and other guys, too.
His last few years, he was 93 catches and 83 catches. So you can say the first 8, you know, Gronk's 8-year career better than Tony Gonzalez's first 8. Are you going to tell me that Gronk's going to play for 9 more years and do the exact same thing?
No, and that's going to be the problem, because they're going to compare it against him. They're going to compare it against Antonio Gates when he finally is eligible.
They should compare it to Antonio Gates.
Right. And the difference is longevity. When you're looking at the shorter, the smaller picture of it, you sit there and say, oh, my God, for those 8, 9 years,
9 years,
he was phenomenal. He was off the charts.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right, but who cares whether he's a first ballot Hall of
Famer? Well, I mean, because it's all about rankings and comparisons, and people will say, if you think Gronk was the best tight end to ever play the game, anybody thinks the best? Forget about top three. Was he the best to ever play the game at that position?
That's a tough question.
I think you can make that argument. Yes.
Yeah,
you
could for short term.
Well, I'm for short term. No, forget about short term. Listen, right now, if he retires today, is he the best tight end to ever play the game?
Anyways, I say no.
Okay.
Wow. That's a fine. It's me.
Well, let me ask you this. For nine years, if you want to compare his nine years with anybody else's nine years, he wins. The problem is, and you're right, Christian, the problem is we're talking about other guys who are able to do it for 18 years. That's the difference.
Feel like if you're looking at, okay, who holds the top spot, It's Tony Gonzalez.
So let's try to take out like longevity, because that definitely plays a role. 17 years versus 9. Again, 8 years. If Gronk puts up 8 more years, okay, he'll have it all. But during their career, like at the prime, their best season, you know, Gronk's best year when he was on top of his game, Tony Gonzalez's best year when he was in the prime of his career, who do you think is a better player?
Gronk. I think you can argue Gronk.
I think Gronk is.
Here's the thing, and that's fine.
Okay, but that's the only way I can look at it.
Because I think people, and this is the thing with Tony Gonzalez, like, I mean, listen, we came up in the same time. Like, we played against each other, and we're peers. So what he was capable of doing didn't look like Gronk, because that's Gronk, right?
Different guy.
Didn't have the same personality. But the production is not matched by anybody. Forget about tight ends. Look at wide receivers. Look at his numbers. And you just want to take the second half of his career and look at the years that he had with Atlanta. The guy just continually put up huge numbers. And I'll even go back to when we played against him. We looked at Tony Gonzalez like teams look at Gronk. It was double team. It was smack him at the line of scrimmage. He doesn't get the same, I guess, credit, because he's not as manly, and he's not as like, I'm Gronk. You know, he was a good-looking guy, he was a little smoother than Gronk.
Is he a blocker like Gronk?
No, but again.
Babcock?
But again, now there was Shannon Sharp.
No, but what I'm saying is Gronkowski is a defensive mismatch. It's a nightmare.
So was Gonzalez.
Okay, but I'm just saying, Gonzalez bring the guy into the line of scrimmage because he's got a little guy covering him and just run right over him in run blocking. They change the play.
Here's the thing.
He affects everything.
Here's the thing. Like, Gonzalez also gets a bad rap for being a bad blocker. He wasn't. He was running routes all the time, so it was always different. He had other Dwayne Allens that were point of attack guys, because he was always running routes. So there's a different, aspect to his game that you have to kind of, look at.
Right.
But I would say Shannon Sharp never blocked anybody.
No.
Never.
No, he was
a soft.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I guess blocking is important, but if Gronk is an A blocker, Gonzalez is a B.
But I think if you're looking at comparable for a short period of time, you could make the argument, because of the added part of his game, the added skill that he could block.
Which is what?
That he could block. Gronk was better. But I'm with you. Gonzalez gets the check mark because he did it over 17 years. You can't take that away from him.
It is amazing when you look at Tony Gonzalez's career. Like, there wasn't... First off, what did he miss? One game? Two games in his career?
Yeah, see, that's a factor.
Seriously, he missed two games for 17 years.
That's a factor.
And I'm telling you, when you normally you sit there and say, well, he's had some great years and some down years. The worst year he had was 63 catches. Well, 59 in his second year.
Well, then his first year.
Well, 33, yeah.
Rookie. He was a rookie.
Yeah. But still, I'm just saying, like, there was no real drop-off.
There's 1,200 yards receiving, 917, 917, almost 1,300 yards receiving, 900, 900, 1,100, 1,100. I mean, 930. When he was 36 years old, he had 93 receptions for 930 yards and 8 touchdowns.
That's 6 years from
it's
now
insane.
For Gronk. Right? That's 6 years from
now. And then his last year,
he had
83 receptions, 859 yards, and 8 touchdowns again.
If you're taking any period.
I don't think it's even close.
But if you're taking the high spot of each one of their careers, let's say whatever year that was, you could make the argument that Gronk is a better player than Tony Gonzalez. The problem is, if you're talking about Hall of Fame, you're talking about the entire resume. It's 17 years of high quality.
You get credit for playing for a long period of time.
Greatest of all time. It's hard to ignore 17 years of consistency. There was no drop off with him. None. And there's no injuries. That alone. puts him above Gronk. But if you were to take that, you know, the prime year, one prime year, and watch the two of them play, you'd say, okay, who's better in their prime for 1 year? You still think it's Tony Gonzalez?
I think, okay, fine. It doesn't matter. We're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
I mean, Gonzalez, 102 receptions, almost 1,300 yards receiving from a tight end position is unheard of.
I'll tell you, Gronk did get 1,300
yards receiving. It's unheard of. Yeah, it is. It's insane.
Plus so he fine.
Yeah, so we had one great year. So we had that great year. If you're going to use...
Over 1,000 yards three times.
How many times?
Three.
Okay, let me go.
Four times.
One.
Four.
And these are, I'm not even going to count the times when it was like close to 1,000. When he had 900, 900, 905, 917, 930. I mean, to me, it's really kind of a stupid conversation because they're both great. But if you're going to sit there and say...
Well, I think it's stupid, the whole like... First ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't understand it.
You know, people are upset about it. It's like, who cares?
Right.
You know how many great football players, Hall of Famers, didn't get in the first time? Right. What's the difference?
A lot of them.
What do you got to be a first
time? Yeah, I don't understand what the big deal was. And Karen probably was just talking to some of those people and just asked them straight out. And
well, because if she just asked him, is he a Hall of Famer? You don't have an article.
Right.
Because everyone's like, yeah, I think he is. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, great. Well, this article sucks. Would you vote first ballot? No. Ooh, now I got something. You know, now you start going around, right, as a reporter. So, she probably just felt like the answer, he's a Hall of Famer, is yes. Bad article. Is he first ballot? And she got five people to say no.
Well, the reason he's probably not a first ballot, and I'm not debating that, is because when the voters sit down and talk about it, they're going to sit there and say, well, especially if he walks away this year, he only played 9 years. So he played at a high level, but he played for 9 years, and oh, yeah, he missed a lot of time. Oh, yeah, he missed a season in which they actually won a Super Bowl.
Agreed.
So he was not part of that. So there are things in there in his resume you can look at that take stuff away from him. The biggest thing that prevents him from being a first ballot Hall of Famer, health.
And it looks like he's not the same kind of grunt.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're both studs.
Love
so,
that guy.
But I guess what the voters will look at is like, listen, if Tony Gonzalez is a first ballot Hall of Famer, okay, what was Shannon Sharpe? He wasn't first ballot.
I believe he might have been. Yeah, we should look that up.
Yeah, I'm not sure because I would say because Gronk, it blows him away.
Christian, usually
it's my turn.
Usually it's the quarterbacks that are the first timers, right? They get in on the first ballot, and then you get the great defensive players, and then you get the great offensive players like John Hanna was in. A lot of your left tackles that are in there right now all get in the first battle. This is one of those, I think, that you know, he's going to get in, but I wouldn't be surprised unless he plays another 3 years and plays at a high level. And I'm not sure. He's going to.
I'll never argue with this one, this point with you guys.
Shannon Sharpe was not, by the way. He did not get
he was?
In the first.
Okay.
I don't care.
No, the whole Julian Edelman thing?
Yes.
Not a Hall of Famer. Not a Hall of Famer. Not even close.
No, I agree.
That's it. It was fun.
We discussed that last week.
But I was like, well, yeah.
You're on the fence?
Yeah, oh, you changed your mind on this one.
Well, no. It's
worse than Ordway.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
Are you kidding me? I'm the more consistent of the three of us here in this studio.
Well, yeah, maybe.
And I never, right, maybe.
Sometimes.
And I'm shocked at that because I flip-flop left and right. You guys are a lot worse. But he needs another 4 years. Edelman needs another 4 years with, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that. That's what he needs.
Hey, keep the guys on in there.
Ready for this? It's getting out. The Pittsburgh Steelers may be ready to trade Antonio Brown, and we may have an idea of teams they're interested in trading with.
When it gets thick.
Yeah, we get that all coming up right here on OMF.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.